Welcome to the September 21st Drupalize Me podcast.
Drupalize Me.
So we are at episode 2 of the Drupalize Me podcast, and today I am joined by Jen Lampton. And Jen is a longtime Drupal contributor, and she has also done a lot of coordinating for the Bay Area Drupal Camp, also known as Bad Camp, with a very cool logo with an eye patch. And so, Jen, why don't you give us a little intro about who you are?
Sure. So I'm a Drupal developer. I've been working with Drupal since about 2005. I have been working with web since about 1997. It's a very different place back then. And I'm really involved in the community, both in user groups, camps, conferences, anything I can do to help facilitate collaboration and the project in general.
Sweet. So before, obviously, we're going to talk about the Drupal stuff in your life, but I'm also just sort of generally curious, like, what are the things outside of Drupal that you're really passionate about? Like, who are you?
I have a very interesting collection of habits. Not only am I pretty techie and love to hang out in the Drupal world, but I also have a horse, and I've been riding horses since I was about 7. And those two things don't really overlap at all. Like, the people I see in the horse world are usually not very techie. Some of them aren't even up to speed on this crazy email business. And then we've got this whole tech world where people like don't like to get dirty and large animals are frightening. So I really like having the juxtaposition of those two things in my life.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Do you actually go to shows and such?
I do. I compete probably about once a month in the summer, a little less in the winter because the weather's not quite so nice. But yeah, I've got a young horse that we're trying to turn into a World Cup horse. So it's a long journey. We're not sure whether he'll actually be that good, but that's what my hopes are. Those are my aspirations.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. Well, let's talk about Drupal. First of all, so you said you've been doing Drupal since like 2006, did you say?
Yeah, I have had a user account since 2006, but I did a little dabbling in it a while before that. So I probably first downloaded it and installed it back in 2005.
Right on. That's about the same time I started as well. How did you actually end up using Drupal? So you've been doing web stuff for a while before that. So what ended up bringing you to actually working with Drupal?
So I was working in this really tiny mom and pop web shop in the Bay Area, and our clients were basically a collection of small business owners, and they all needed to do really different things with their websites, and we would evaluate tons of different technologies and try and find the best tool for any job, whatever it was. Budget was always an issue, and flexibility was always an issue, and we had one client who needed something like a content management system. And we evaluated all of the current offerings, including Jumbo and Drupal. And we liked those two the best and did kind of a head-to-head comparison. And we ended up going with Drupal. And about the same time I was doing this evaluation at work, a bunch of my nerdy friends started getting really excited about Drupal. And they're like, oh, look what you can do with this thing. It's really neat. You know, all these things you complain about at work that takes you forever to do, I could do in a day in Drupal. And so I was like, all right, sell me on it. And so I had basically a bunch of different forces in my life lining up, pointing me towards this technology. And so we had a client that specifically requested it. And we're like, okay, we're just going to jump in and learn it for that project and see how it goes. And then if that works, we can use it for these other projects. And it was kind of no looking back. Once we were in, everyone really liked it.
Also, so what version of Drupal was that? Is that 4.7?
Yeah, it was 4.7 when our first launch site was on 4.7. And then a year later, we did our first upgrade to 5. Everything changed.
Yes, that was a wonderful upgrade.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, we just, you know, I started seeing the solutions to every problem in Drupal. my boss had brain me in. She's like, are you really sure we should do this in Drupal? I'm like, yeah, we're over the learning curve. It'll be really fast. So
awesome. So in your long and storied career, what would you say is your sort of biggest highlight or like your proudest accomplishment, the thing that you're just like, hell yeah, I did that in Drupal or the web generally, but what would you say?
There are two things. The biggest highlight was probably back in DrupalCon Paris, which I think was in 2009, where Earl Miles was giving a session on panels. And at the very end of his session, he did a demo of a module I'd written called Total Control, which is basically just a bunch of default panels and configuration. And it kind of felt really good to have the person who wrote the software that you were stealing to write your own software show off what you'd done. And so that was probably my, my favorite moment was when that happened, because I hadn't actually met Earl before that. So, you know, both of us are being from the Bay Area, meet in Paris, and he's giving this talk and demonstrates my code, and just felt like validation, I guess. And then my biggest accomplishment would have been DrupalCon San Francisco. That was a huge conference that a whole bunch of us here in the Bay Area organized back in 2010. And we got, you know, 3,100 people registered, almost 3,000 people there. The ticket price was really low. The conference went off without a hitch. And it just, it was amazing to me that we could actually do something of that scale and pull it off and have people like it. And so that's definitely my biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, that was a great conference. So, yeah, huge kudos to you guys for that. I don't know how you, like, came out of that sane. But
I don't really know either, but I seem to be okay. So,
and you continue to do events with Bad Camp and such. So I guess you didn't get too worn out from it.
Well, it was funny. We considered not doing a Bay Area Drupal Camp in 2010 after DrupalCon San Francisco, and everyone just kind of looked around the table at each other and were like, "Well, after what we did this spring, everything will be easy." So with that in your past, you know, what you have to do in your future seems much more possible. So this year we're hoping to get 2,000 people at Bay Area Drupal Camp, which sounds like a lot, but after having 3,000 people at DrupalCon, like, it's still be just fine. No problem.
That's beans.
Yeah.
No problem. Well, we're definitely going to be there in force, I believe. I mean, I think we're going to have probably almost like half of Lullabot is going to be out there, I think. So, so I'm excited about Bad Camp. Always a good time, and it's never a bad thing to be in the Bay Area either.
Yeah, especially in the fall when it's still, you know, slightly warm here and everyone else is starting to get winter, so it'll be good.
Exactly. So coming from your past accomplishments and such like that, what's getting you excited about Drupal right now? Like, what are you really, like, dug into and excited about for the future?
So Drupal 8 looks really interesting to me. And I say this with almost a little confliction, because I really like Drupal the way it is. And Drupal 8 is going to change everything. So part of me, I'm a little apprehensive about how what it's going to be, but I'm also super excited about all the possibilities that it opens up. One of the things that I've been working on for the last few months is trying to replace the existing theme layer, which is based on PHP template, with a new templating system called Twig, which is hopefully going to make it really easy for anyone who knows HTML to be able to start Drupal theming, whereas right now you kind of need an additional vocabulary of Drupal theme development skills in order to do anything. So hopefully it'll make Drupal a lot more approachable to people who aren't already Drupal people. And then there's also a whole bunch of other neat stuff that's getting redone in Drupal 8 that should make it easier to use. We've got a whole new user interface going in that'll help make the block placement system more like panels, which of course is my favorite module in all of Drupal. And there's a bunch of other neat stuff, like it's going to be all responsive, it'll have HTML5 in it. Everything is just going to be really slick and great to use. That said, it'll be really different than now. So I'm really excited to work on it, but I'm also a little apprehensive about what it'll look like when it's done, because we don't know. We haven't decided yet. You know, we've still got a couple months to get some crazy changes in there, but it looks really fun and exciting. So I can't wait.
Yeah. So feature freeze is coming up at the beginning of December, right?
Yes.
First week in December, I guess. So I'm curious about, I'm personally very curious about the theme system stuff in particular. And I know you've been doing a lot of work around trying to organize people on that. And so for our listeners who may not really understand what any of that means, I was wondering if you could explain sort of what does a templating system mean? Like how is that, what does that mean, and why does Drupal use one? And then a follow-up to that will be, well, what exactly is Twig in terms of it being different than what we use now?
So there's a couple of things. A templating system, to start with, when you have a tool as complicated as Drupal printing out web pages, the information people put in needs to come out in HTML, which is the language web pages are built in. And if people who, you know, before we had fancy content management systems, people would have to hand code all of that HTML all the time. But what we have in Drupal is a system that puts together content in little wrappers and then puts the little wrappers together in different places on the page. And every one of those different things on the page needs a different kind of wrapper. So if it's a menu, it might need an unordered list wrapper. If it's just a chunk of content, maybe it just needs a div around it or an article tag or, you know, some other piece of HTML. And so we have a system in place that generates all of this HTML. And we could just leave it at that and say, you know, what comes out of Drupal is what you get, and that's it. But it turns out that every website wants different HTML, different designers want to make it look different, want to make it look pretty. And so we need a way to let people change the code that comes out of Drupal, the HTML that comes out. Mm-hmm. And the system that we're using right now, which is called PHP Template, lets you have templates that basically print a huge chunk of HTML and inserts variables, but it does it using PHP code, which is good because Drupal is written in PHP, but it's also bad because it means that people who understand and are fluent in HTML and CSS and JavaScript have to learn something new in order to interact with these templates. And especially the way Drupal uses it, where rather than just printing things out, there's all of this complexity that happens in how those variables are prepared before they get printed out and how they have to be printed out. And so people can't just write HTML. They've got to have some understanding of how it all fits together. And that can be sometimes a deterrent when someone new opens up a template file and they're like, oh, HTML, I know HTML. They open a template file, they see PHP code in there, and they go, oh, I don't know how to do this, and they leave. And so what we're trying to do is make the initial impression of when you open a template file, make it look approachable, make it just look like HTML. And Twig is a really friendly syntax that does that. It's also a syntax that's used elsewhere on the web. So if you have done anything into Django or any number of other systems, you'll recognize the logic in those template files. It's just if statements and for loops and print statements in a way that PHP with calls to functions like render, hide, might not seem as approachable. It's also a lot more secure, which is something that's been bothering the higher-ups in the Drupal world, where with PHP, you can do anything you want. You can drop a database. And that's really bad news. And with Twig, you can't. It's abstracted, which in some ways is bad because, you know, it's harder for people to know what's actually going on. But it also allows us to build in this layer of protection where you can't run SQL queries directly from your template files. And we can already sanitize all of the data that comes out of your Drupal site from your database before it gets to the template file. So people who are writing new templates don't need to think about, you know, should this string be escaped or could there be something dangerous in there I need to strip out? All they need to do is just print it, and the system itself can take care of making sure it's safe and making sure they have the right information there. So it's got these little wins in it. And it also might have a huge advantage in performance. In theory, it does, but we won't actually know until we've built it and replaced all of what's there. So we can't actually test that for quite some time. So it has the potential of having a lot of wins for Drupal, but we've got to build it all first before we can confirm it.
So can you, so like, I know now, like a template file, and I've totally, like, you know, you go into a site that somebody else has built, because of course I would never do this, and you open up a template file and there's all this direct database querying going on like in a template file or something like that. Is that still possible in Twig, or is if we move to Twig, would that just like not even be possible, or is it still just possible for people to shoot themselves in the foot in that way if they still wanted to?
So at the end of the day, if somebody wants to punch a hole through the security in their Drupal site, they're going to find a way to do it. What we're trying to do is make it really, really easy to do things the right way and make it really hard to do things the wrong way. So you can't write a SQL query from your template file, but if you need a SQL query, you can probably still put it in your template.php file. There are still going to be files in there that are PHP, and if someone wants to shoot themselves in the foot, they can. We're just trying to make it easier for them to do the right thing. So we're going to make it really easy for them to add whatever variables they need. We're going to make it really easy for them to manipulate those variables, but we're not going to make it possible for them to add a SQL query directly from the template file itself.
Okay.
So the problem with the way things are now is that it's really easy to do bad things. And we want to make it really clear, you know, if you're doing something wrong, it should be hard. And if you do it the right way, it should be easy. And that will reduce the amount of insecure themes we have out there, just because people will say, this is way too hard. And then they'll look it up and it'll say, oh, well, here's the right way to do it. But right now, anyone who knows PHP, anyone who knows MySQL can do whatever they want, wherever they want. And there isn't really any limitations that's preventing them or teaching them that there's a better way to do it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so now you mentioned that Twig is, I mean, is that an open source project? Like that's a general thing that exists. It's not a Drupal specific thing, but is it open source or?
It is an open source project, and it was created by the same guy who created Symfony, which is also a PHP project, which is already in Drupal 8. So it works really well with the tools we already have, which is a huge advantage.
Cool. And so currently, we use PHP template, and that's a Drupal thing, right? I mean,
it's yes
PHP,
no.
Right? So,
yeah, but I mean, PHP template exists outside of Drupal, but we have done a lot of stuff to it in the most recent versions of Drupal that make it not really PHP template anymore. Mm. It's kind of Drupal's own version.
Okay, so we've sort of forked the idea of PHP template.
Yes.
Sort of, okay. Wow. Okay. Well, so that sounds like a lot of work to change the way that we do theming, where basically, you know, we have PHP and, you know, there's some HTML you put in there and stuff like that. And now we're talking about an entirely different
language,
right? Like an entirely different syntax for actually making that HTML happen. So like, how do you actually change something like that in Drupal core?
It's really hard. And we have a kind of a roadmap. What we're doing right now is we're replacing all of the existing template files in core with Twig versions. And we've only created one theme that runs on Twig, and that's Stark. And the Stark theme right now has no template files in it. So basically it gives us a really good place to just override everything by giving a Twig version instead. So what we're doing is manually going through one at a time, replacing a PHP template file with a Twig template file. And when we get done with those, we also are going to go through all of core and replace every single theme function with a Twig template file. So hopefully in Drupal 8, there won't be more than one way to override anything. You always just replace it with a template file. And as soon as we get all of the template files and all of the theme functions converted, then we'll have an example of what Drupal looks like running Twig. So that's our way to prove that it's possible, basically. And then we can start putting these files where they're supposed to go. So we can convert the Bartik theme with its overrides. We can convert every individual module, and we can put everything back. But until we can prove that every one of these files works, we can't really replace it in core, because then we won't really know if we're breaking something or fixing something. Or, you know, we might find somewhere else that something's broken and we didn't notice. So we've got to kind of give ourselves a way to tell if what we're doing is working every step along the way. We can't just switch off PHP template because Drupal will just stop working. So we're doing it one theme at a time. And then once we get all of the themes working, then we can change the way core does it.
Wow. So I'm curious, like, if we have everything is a template, there's no theme functions.
Yes.
Wow. Because so right now, for those who may not know much about theming. We do have templates that have, you know, HTML. It's actually a file. And then it has little snippets of PHP that brings in sort of the dynamic stuff that you want to for your site. But then a lot of those dynamic little bits that you stick in there, and other things that are appearing on the site, are actually just PHP functions, like just straight up. It's a PHP function. And so, and you always have to figure out where is it and where do I override it and all those things. So that sounds fascinating to me that there wouldn't be any theme functions. So everything would be a template if you wanted to override it. Like everything overridable would be a template?
Yes, every piece of markup that comes out of core should come from a template file. And we're going to do a bunch of work on the template system too. Right now, there are a lot of template files that are really similar to each other. We've got, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 ways to print out a list. And we are going to try and consolidate some of that so that if you want to create a list of any type, you call the same function, which, well, in this case, template file, and it'll print out whatever list items you pass to it. So if it's a user list, it prints out users. And if it's an item list, it prints out items. And if it's a pager, it prints out pager links. And you don't need separate ways to do all of those things if at the end of the day, all you're doing is printing a list. So we're going to try, since we have to edit or review every single template file or theme function in core, it gives us a really great opportunity to actually evaluate whether they're necessary. Drupal has a really bad habit of every module just creating its own markup. And what that means at the end of the day is that the markup you get all over your page is really inconsistent. The people who wrote one module decided to do a different way than the ones who wrote the other, and you end up with, you know, the same information printed different ways, which is really hard for people writing CSS to deal with globally. So this gives us a chance to kind of clean all of that up and use our system of theme suggestions to override stuff. So, for example, a menu could have a list function that's different than a pager or a template file with a different name. But it's still, if you haven't overridden any of them, it still uses the same file. So we can give people control over the items separately without actually having to run a whole bunch of different template files in order to get it. So hopefully we can do a kind of a big double or triple whammy here with improving the process of creating themes in Drupal. We can clean up the markup, we can improve consistency, and we can make you only have to go one place to find what to override.
Wow, that's a tall order. that sounds like a tremendous amount of work. So I would imagine that you would probably like some assistance with this. Like how many people are currently sort of working on this, and how, you know, if there are folks out there who are actually interested in helping with this and seeing how this all works in process, like how would they, where do they go?
So we have actually a lot more people working on it than I was hoping for, which is great. We've got a bunch of existing core developers who are really motivated to work on it, which is amazing. And after DrupalCon Munich, we got a huge amount of front-end developers who also are really passionate about this and pitching in. So we've got a bunch of help, which is good. We need a lot more. I don't want to play that down at all because there is so much work to do. Specifically with developers, we've got a bunch of people to help us convert template files and theme functions over, but we need some more people who understand object-oriented programming and how Twig works in particular to figure out how we can replace the systems we currently have in Drupal with what we want it to do in Twig. And if you want to get involved, we have a sandbox project on Drupal.org where we have a bunch of instructions on, you know, issues we need help with and documentation on what to do. You can also get in touch with me directly and I can try and put you in, you know, whatever you are good at so that you can help us with that, either via Twitter or my contact form on Drupal.org or email, any way you can. I'll take all the help I can get. And then we also have a Google Plus Hangout every Thursday morning at 11:30 Pacific time, which is 7:30 p.m. UTC. So we've got people all over the world who are joining into that one, which is pretty cool. And that's just where we can kind of talk about, you know, where we are, what we need to focus on, and how progress is plodding along.
Where would people find information on how to join the Hangout?
So there is a post on groups.drupal.org. We should have a repeating event up there. And then there's also an IRC channel, pounddrupal-twig. where all of the people working on Twig will hang out and talk about what's going on. And every week, the link to the Hangout is posted in that IRC channel.
Okay, we'll put links in the podcast notes as well, okay. So people can find those things. Another thing I wanted to mention is that you had talked with Brian Hirsch about Drupal Ladder stuff, and that ended up in my inbox, and I haven't done anything. But we're also planning to hopefully get a Drupal Ladder set up for helping out with Twig stuff within the next couple weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I think Twig will be a really good place to kind of welcome new contributors to core also, because there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, right? There's a bunch of stuff where we need people who have expertise in HTML and CSS, and there's not a lot of those kind of issues directly against core. So I think that it's a really good place where we can get new people to make a change and have a get in right away, and that can be really encouraging. And there's also a fairly low barrier to entry to work on that. All you need to do is install Drupal and dig around in the file system and write some code in, you know, HTML, which could be perfectly fine for people. And then once people figure out that, then, you know, getting a little further into debugging and I don't know, it just seems like a really good place to start getting people involved, just because the first step isn't so scary.
Yeah. And if people want to actually just learn more about Twig itself and check out the syntax and stuff like that, what's the Twig website?
So I think if you just search Google Twig, I think it's on Fabian's website. I don't actually know what it is,
right.
But Twig has really good documentation. And the syntax, I was actually, when we first started talking about the problems with the existing theme layer, I was against using Twig because I didn't want people to have to learn anything new. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I looked at the syntax and realized that it didn't really involve learning as much as it's just what you think it is, then I came around pretty quickly.
Mm, okay, and I looked up the URL. So it's Twig, T-W-I-G, .sensiolabs.org, S-E-N-S-I-O-L-A-B-S. So, but we'll put a link in podcast notes for that as well. Yeah, cool. So that was, yeah, that's a lot of stuff. and I'm in building out the ladder for that. I'm actually pretty excited to dig into that, because I feel like that's something I can wrap my head around. We're going to have a later podcast on the Drupal 8 initiatives and stuff like that. And I'm excited about quite a lot of them, but not all of them are ones that feel as approachable to my brain. So, but this one sounds like something that I could actually wrap my head around and maybe do. So,
yeah. Something also that really fascinates me about Twig is that this movement is not an initiative. And I'm actually kind of proud of that. There's a lot of things that we're doing in Drupal right now that were either, you know, in directed, right? Like somebody said, we need to do X, whether it was Dries or someone else. And there's a bunch of other things where some company has come in and decided to fund some development because they want to have it in core. And I feel like this is maybe the last major movement that is completely organic. It's just something that the entire community said, we have a problem, we need to fix it. And all of these people from all over the world are just pitching in to do it, which feels really good. I mean, that's why I'm in Drupal in the first place, is because when you want to change it, you can. And it's really great to be part of a movement that's just kind of came up out of what was necessary and is now making some progress. So that's really great.
That is. It's pretty amazing. And kudos for diving in, because it sounds overwhelming to me. So the fact that you're willing to take that on is pretty amazing. So we should probably look at wrapping up a little bit. And I mean, there's this project and people getting involved in core is sort of, for you and for me personally, it's definitely kind of our big rah-rah thing. But I'm curious, like just generally, not even like talking about Drupal core per se or anything like that, but what advice would you give to new people who are listening to this podcast and are trying to wrap their head around, you know, everything we've just talked about and try and understand what it all means, but who are just trying to like get up to speed with Drupal? What would be like advice that you would give to them in terms of resources or approach or anything like that?
So there's a couple of things. Back when I was first learning Drupal, there really weren't very many resources. And now there's so much help out there on the web. There's really great videos. There's blog posts. There's Drupal.org is full of issue queues that have mostly answers to your questions. IRC is full of really helpful people who you can just ask a question and they'll just tell you the answer for free, just because they know it and you don't. And I know that Drupal can be really hard to learn, especially right now. There's so much really complicated things going on in Drupal 7, and it can be frustrating. But just keep in mind that pretty much anything is possible. And so even if you're struggling with trying to figure out how to do it, get help, and you can do it. It's just a matter of, you know, are you taking the easiest approach? There's 5 ways to solve any problem in Drupal. And that's, you know, part of the frustration with trying to learn something new. But getting help, getting over those first few humps and getting on your way will get you so far. And then every project, all you just need to do is figure out, you know, the 10% you don't know about this project or the 10% you don't know about the next project. So it's tough, but stick with it and it'll definitely be worth it.
Awesome. I totally agree. I also wanted to mention real quickly before we wrap up that Jen has also been working on a series of videos for Drupalize Me on panels, which should be the first ones, I believe, are going to be coming out next Wednesday. So not many days away. We'll have a series starting all about panels with Jen walking you through her favoritest module in the entire world. That's thank you so much for being on the podcast. I think all of the work that you do is pretty amazing. And I just want to say personally, thank you very much for your contributions to the community.
Well, thanks for having me. You're very welcome.
Awesome. All right. Well, we can sign off until next podcast. See you later.